It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Good morning to you. Happy, I guess I can still say happy 4th of July, right? It's weird. Ryan Hollins, Doug Gottlieb. In for Dan and the Danettes. We got some LA news we want to get to. Obviously, the NBA finals are set. People continue to talk about weed and the Olympics. But it is, 4th of July is an interesting holiday, right, Ryan? But where, I mean, I guess you can you still wish somebody happy 4th of July? Is that, it's not really, I don't know. It does seem like a one day only holiday, although today is technically a federal holiday. Because the day after the 4th of July. So happy 4th of July. I don't know if it's belated or if I can just say it outright.
Appreciate it, Doug.
I think I'm overthinking this thing. That's what I think I'm getting to. All right, let's obviously, like your a fastball for you right down the middle is the NBA Finals. And we have the Bucks against the Suns. And I guess the Bucks prove they can win without Giannis. They win two games without Giannis. The Suns win two games without Chris Paul, and yet the billing for the NBA Finals is going to be Giannis finally trying to win a championship, Chris Paul trying to win a championship, when the teams just showed they can win without their stars in their conference final series.
I mean, Doug, how much... am I going to be the bearer of bad news here?
What's that?
Is that what I'm going to sound like I'm going to have to do? Because I think you just spelled it out. The Phoenix Suns... Or Chris Paul trying to prove that he can win a championship. And you know that this Suns team in this moment is good enough to win potentially without him. You know, I don't want to say it's smooth sailing, but it's sailing, fair to say. And over there in Milwaukee, yeah, Trae Young was hobbled. He wasn't quite the same, but they can manage without Giannis against the Suns. I don't want to diminish the effects of Chris Paul and Giannis Antetokounmpo, but this is just a weird, funky playoff scenario in which, you know, you can manage without a star or two. You know, you think LeBron James, right? Yep. There's no way you manage without LeBron James on the court, all right? The Cavaliers and the Lakers would be getting blown out by by 20 or 30 points, even with a starless team. On the other side, you may argue of, you know, obviously Miami Heat, LeBron James team, the white hot team would have had a chance to, you know, compete with Dwayne Wade. But ultimately, I don't get the same feeling. These are good teams. We haven't seen, Doug, good teams in the NBA Finals. And obviously, this was a star injury-riddled playoff and season. We don't need to dive into that, although we probably will. But ultimately, these are just good, well-coached teams back in the NBA, Detroit Pistons style.
But the injuries are even when the Detroit Pistons won that NBA championship, right? The Lakers had Karl Malone got hurt. I think Rick Fox got hurt. I'm not sure if GP got hurt as well. Like there were injuries galore. I mean, it's interesting. Like we look back now in the Golden State Warriors' first championship, every team they played, the point guard and the opposing team missed at least two of the games. Kyrie Irving only played played the entire game of game one, but it went overtime and he got hurt. So he didn't play, I believe, in overtime. But we don't look back on the Golden State Warriors championship and say, well, they won the championship, but everybody they played was hurt. We're like, no, they won the championship, and that was Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala hitting threes because he was open, you know, those type of things. I do wonder if we're going to look back and kind of give it an audible asterisk because, like, oh, the Bucks won? Oh, yeah. That was the year that the Nets were the best team in the East, but, you know, two of their three stars were hurt. The Lakers, you know, lost to Anthony Davis. And we start kind of going through those things. I guess the question becomes, Ryan Hollins, Doug Gottliebman for Dan the Danettes, do we put a mental asterisk by whoever wins the championship? Because we know how many injuries there's been.
Yes, you have to. You have to. The only way that you don't put the asterisk on it, you want to know how you don't put the asterisk on it? You come back and do it again. The Phoenix Suns win, and they come back the next year, and they do it again. You take the asterisks off. But the Golden State Warriors, they came back and they did it again. And they didn't just beat every team in the league. They beat everybody down. Doug, I saw the beginnings of it. It wasn't fun playing against the Warriors. You had to change lineups. They were fast. Once they learned how to defend, they could shut you out. They could win, you know, the slower tempo games, and you knew Curry at some point would get hot. You couldn't question if this was the best team in the league. You didn't question it. When you look at the Suns, we questioned it. When you look at the Bucks, we definitely questioned it. Doug, I mean, they weren't better than the Nets. There was no series.
No.
Right? Where the Warriors were in it, are they better than the Nets?
The Raptors weren't. And I think maybe to your point is the Raptors weren't better than the Warriors. No one thinks otherwise, right? And so we almost talk like that championship didn't happen.
But they were the best team in the East, at least. This is disgusting, Doug. This is disgusting. You never felt like at a worst case scenario, they weren't the best team in the East, right? With the Raptors.
That was the year they won on
knocked off
Kawhi Leonard's rim rattler, right?
Rim rattler knocked off Philly
and went in.
Mm-hmm. Knocked off Philly. Yeah. Knocked off Milwaukee. Kawhi slides over guards Giannis one on one. Kawhi's going bananas, by the way, on the way to the finals. So no, they weren't better than the Warriors, but you don't get that. Like you weren't even the best team of the East. You weren't the best team of the West. You just feel that way, and you saw Brooklyn the way they dismantled the Bucks in game one and two until Kyrie goes out, and you're like, dude, this is a sweep. You never felt that way. Like you saw that series, Doug, and it was like this is going to be a sweep. I just don't get those same vibes, and I hate to bring up the past, but there's going to be asterisks to your main point on this finals champ, whoever it is, unless they come back the next year and do it again. The only way.
Do we put an asterisk by the Lakers? I think there's more an asterisk by the Lakers championship last year than there is the Suns.
No way. Listen, the
Lakers won in the bubble is completely different environment than we have ever seen. You know,
The bubble was different, but the bubble was more of a mental test on top of the physical because guys were going back crazy in the bubble, man. Guys were losing. The Clippers didn't want to the Clippers were the favorites to win the NBA championship, and they didn't want to show up. Now, that's just the level of – Doug, I don't have a better way to say it, but that was just poor leadership. Your leader's supposed to step up and say, guys, how many of you have a championship? And so let's go do something special for LA. Like, they didn't want to show up, okay? So I think it was more of a mental hurdle. But, Doug, we didn't see the injuries.
Last year?
Yeah. I guess safe to say the Brooklyn Nets, you know, weren't
Brooklyn,
healthy.
I mean, Kevin Durant apparently, you know, was ready to go and wouldn't play. You can't say that last year is a non-Astros year when they took, you know, they had a substantial amount of time off, then they had a shortened, you know, warm-up period, then they played in a bubble, and then go, this year's an Astros because guys got hurt. Like, nah, if you want to say, we'll look back and go, yeah, those are kind of two, because when the Spurs won, you know, the Spurs won, they were the lockout champions, I think twice, right? Like, they won. Congratulations on winning the lockout years. We don't go back and go like, hey, Tim Duncan won all these titles, but two of them were lockout years. Well, we don't actually look at it like that.
Doug, he certified it, though. He came back again and did it again.
But they never won back-to-back, right? They have won multiple championships. They've never won back-to-back. With Ryan Hollins, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, coming up next, here's what I want to do. Henry Abbott's going to join us around the corner. But is a rule a rule? And it's interesting because in the Olympics, a rule is sort of a rule. What everyone's talking about in sports, we'll get to next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For Dan the Danettes, you're on the Dan Patrick Show. Whether where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go beyond. From their customization options and cutting-edge tech to their five-star sales, service, and financial support, Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. So go the extra mile by taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Look, there's two, I think, really interesting non-sports sports stories, Ryan. One's in our industry, but it does revolve around really the NBA, and one is in the Olympics. And I actually think the Olympic story is one which is transferable to other sports and to other stories. I don't know, which one do you think today? I still think Sha'Carri Richardson is still a, for whatever reason, a bubbling story because it leads up to the Olympics and she ran in a glamour event. And it's the idea of marijuana, which, you know, is legalized in so many states now. Which one do you think, that or the Rachel Nichols story, is bigger today?
I want to say the marijuana one, because you have a lot of, you got a lot of uninformed people that are hopping in the conversation. And I think is getting blown completely out of context. And Doug, when people feel like their rights are compromised, they get angry. They get mad. And there's a push, Doug, and which I love in the world right now, for equality. Don't get it out of context. I love it. Hear what I'm saying? I love the push for equality now, but we have to be careful what we fight for. And Doug, you know me. You know me. You know I have no problem standing for what is right and calling out what's been wrong, but this isn't it. This moment, this timing isn't it.
Yeah.
And I think, Doug, with the banned substance, it's banned. You did it. You knew the consequences. And I haven't talked to Sha'Carri, if I'm saying her name right there. I haven't talked to her. I haven't spoke to her. I haven't heard from her people. And I don't want her comments to be taken out of context, because maybe she's just saying, hey, you got busted. Why'd you do it? I did it because I was in a bad place and I own it. And I think people are looking at it as if she's not owning it and saying, hey, you should have let me run. I'm not with the let her run stance. I definitely don't see weed per se as an performance enhancer, maybe a relaxer, you know, in a time of anxiety. We're not questioning that, but it didn't make her run faster.
It certainly didn't slow her down in the trials. Look, I'm with you. The thing we have to understand is our way of thinking of things. If you're in a state like the state of Oregon, where it's that is not necessarily how it's looked at internationally, obviously federally, but more importantly, she knew. Like, these are,
she knew,
especially sprinters, and I don't know how many people know this. So her coach is a former, he ran in the dirtiest race of all time, and he's had several runners suspended for performance enhancing drugs. And we both know that marijuana isn't a performance enhancing drug. That's not the point. The point is that when you are going to be in the 100, when you're Olympian, you know everything you put into your body, and you know what you put in your body, if it's legal, if it's not legal. It's true. That important. And to her credit, she's never once said, I can't believe this rule. I know I got away, should have gotten away with it. They should let me run. She has not. But that's a societal problem where we, like, again, you're allowed to say it's dumb to still test for weed. Like, it's just dumb. But it's equally dumb to smoke weed before the biggest race of your life. Like, you know that if you get caught, you will not be able. And while people want some change of the rule, in fact, this is the smallest suspension anybody's been given because we're starting to realize it's kind of a dumb rule. Right? So you can dislike the rule, and the rule will probably change after the Olympic Games. But it was in place. She knew it. She accepted it. I don't know why we think otherwise. If you want to excuse, it's like, well, I was, officer, I was trying to keep up with the flow of traffic. Right? We know if you've ever been in California, when there's no traffic, there's very little speed limit, right? You just don't want to be weaving in and out of people like sometimes motorcyclists do. You know, the guy who's turboing it down in the carpool lane. Like, you want to stay away from that. But try that excuse with a police officer. Sir, you're going 87 miles an hour. Yeah, but it's a 55. Yeah, but I was keeping up with the flow of traffic. Like, no, there's a rule. You violate the rule, there's going to be some sort of penalty. And it's not like she didn't know, and sprinters don't know everything that goes in their body.
Here's the thing, Doug. You got to look at the whole context. I'm not sure when Shikari's mother passed, and I send my condolences to the family. My father passed while I was competing, and I know that pain. It's a different type of pain. No one knows what you go through, and you know whether you had a positive, you know, experience with the parent or not. It's just tough. You know, you bring up a lot of old wounds. There's no way around that. I don't think her mother passed and she just decided to experiment with weed. This is something she'd been doing.
Well, and also this is her birth mother. And I don't know the level of, it wasn't like some, I think somebody told her, she didn't actually know. And so it's not,
yeah,
not that let's not like diminish anybody's death in terms of their level of relationship, but yes, you're right. No one just goes like, hey, this is the first time I'm going to go smoke a bowl at, you know, because
she'd been doing it.
Right. Right.
This is
for college athletes. Right. For college athletes, it's still a violation. There's still marijuana policies, even if and up until this year, last year, there were still policies in place. Here's what they say in the NFL. OK, so people don't know this. NFL offseason program, they have one drug test. Everyone has to take it. Everyone knows the window of when you're going to take it. OK, they don't tell you exactly when they're coming. During that one test, you test positive for the recreational or kind of thing, it's called drugs of abuse. You test positive then you get put into the program, right? So all you have to do is stay clean. There's also that one drug test before the draft combine. And what the NFL people call those tests is, they'll say those are, they're not drug tests, they're IQ tests. Because they're not even saying you can't smoke weed. They're saying all you have to do is wait till after the test, and then you can smoke weed. Like, it's just, there's a certain level of intelligence where you go like, oh, wait, I just got to wait like till I, yeah, yes, now go ahead, cheech and chong it as much as you want. So go ahead.
Well, when I played, we had three drug tests, and if they wanted to, they could drag it out all the way to the NBA Finals. And unfortunately, it's annoying when you don't make it to the NBA Finals and a guy's calling you to check your pee wherever you are. You know, I'd be at like my buddy's house and they'd be like, hey, we got to drug test you. I'm like, all right, well, here's the address. Come find me. Come get me. You know, but ultimately in the NBA, we had those three. And, I'll share this information. I won't put names out. But guys knew, like you said, it was a party. It was 420, all right? It wasn't 420, but it was 420. As soon as that third drug test came, guys knew they were going to light it up. Certain guys on the team.
Sure.
And you knew it. But you wait. Why do you wait, Doug? Because there's $1 million on the other side of the fence. And my frustration with Shikari, and for, you know, condolences to her family or whatever wounds got
but
dug
Ryan,
up.
She's never made any excuses. I mean, I will give her credit in there. She's never said, like, this is a BS rule. She's like, I knew, and, you know, now she's...
Well, she also didn't quiet the people, and I believe that the mother passing was taken out of context, Doug, because the general public took it and said, oh, this was the consensus, Doug. Oh, her mom passed. Let her smoke. Whoa. That's not in the rule book. It's not like, hey, no, well, under extreme trauma, you're allowed to do this.
Here's the part you're getting to, which is really smart, and we circle back around to it. And this does, I think, relates to the Scottie Pippen story from last week and from other stories. Is the idea that there's a racial element to this, right? That there's, and you're talking about equality. And actually, suspending her for less time than, you know, Michael Phelps got 3 months, although it was after Olympic competition, right? But suspending her is equality, right? It's a rule that we're equal under the eyes of the law, whatever that. If it's a USADA rule, you're like, man, that's a terrible rule. Okay, it's a terrible rule. It is a rule. She knew the rule. She gets suspended for it. Like, that's equality. It doesn't matter if she's the fastest 100-meter runner or, you know, throwing the javelin. It doesn't actually matter. That's the rule. And there's no racial implications to it.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's not an Oregon rule. It's not a USA rule. Olympic rule. This is a world question. So everybody thinks, like, we're going after the right. NBA. We're going after right. the NCAA. Like, nah, dude. This is the world. There's a sprinter in Germany who can't blow it down. There's a sprinter in Jamaica, okay, in Nigeria who can't, in China who can't blow. These are world rules. So if you guys are ready to take on the world – and say that the sprinter should – this isn't an NBA thing, guys. It's not a local or regional. This is a world
We have a tendency to want to do that, like to put our own morals and values. It's a USADA rule, but that's part of WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency. All right, let's get back to the NBA stuff. Henry Abbott joins us, truehoop.com, at truehoop on Twitter. Of course, you can subscribe, and they put out absolutely fantastic stuff. Do you believe there's at least a mental asterisk by this NBA Finals?
No. I mean, there will be complaining from superstars who were injured during these playoffs, and they'll want to put that asterisk on there. But come on, man. Everybody had the same. Just like you were talking about with the rules of the rules, like, you got to drag your body across the finish line here, and somebody's going to, right? Like, Giannis will, or Chris Paul will, or Devin Booker will, and that's the champion.
So, Let's start with the Bucks, and there is some similarities, right? The Bucks win their last two without Giannis. The Suns win their first two without Chris Paul. Yet here we are at the finals, where the story is: can Giannis win a championship, or can Chris Paul win a championship? But what do you make of their ability to win those last two against a hobbled Atlanta team down the stretch?
This is the most. I mean, how good are the Hawks without Trae Young? With Trae Young not at his best, like, I don't even know how to rate that team. You know what I mean? So. I'm very, you know, I guess we're all pleased to see Chris Middleton become like a real closer. I think this is a very difficult finals to predict. We just published on Troop a little David Thorpe prediction where basically he's saying every finals he's ever covered, you know, going in what the two teams can do, except for this year. We just don't really know. The Bucks can be terrible. They have this stagnant offense. They don't move the ball well. Without Giannis, their defense isn't super elite, right? But I think it really does come down to, with Giannis, who'd be the best defender in the finals, they're going to win. And if he's playing like Giannis, like, you know, in I'm doing the big, like, italics thing. Giannis! Yes, yes. Like
the,
that,
the
right?
The Joey. That's quotations. The fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, if he's Giannis, then I think the Bucks are going to win because this is the best defense in the playoffs. And without him, I think the Suns are going to roll. Like, I think they're a much better team without Giannis anchoring that defense.
Let me challenge that statement right now. Let me challenge that statement right now. And just throw out the hypothetical. I need you to be real with me now.
Okay.
if Giannis plays sparingly to not at all, and Milwaukee wins the NBA championship, what narratives are we going to see?
Well, we only, for whatever reason, we only like to believe in superstars. I don't know why. This is how narratives work. It's sort of crazy. Of course, the real truth will be, you know, Brooke Lopez or, right, like a lot of, like, lesser names. But no, the narrative will be that Chris Middleton emerged as a superstar, right? That's what we're going to say.
Why is that funny?
We always do that. We don't believe in any wins.
I don't know if that'll be the narrative. I think it'll just be the weirdest year ever. Henry Abbott joining us. In terms of matchups, I do think that it's a bad matchup for the Suns from this standpoint, right? Like, the Lakers like that matchup because they just don't have outside of DeAndre Ayton, they don't have another guy who they felt like could manage a LeBron. and it's a tough matchup to match up with Giannis. But the Giannis thing is fascinating because you mentioned if he's real Giannis, like the free throw thing is, it's like uncomfortable to watch. It's going to be great in Phoenix, right? Because it, all of a sudden they'll be possibly four times. They'll be counting every second that the ball is dribbled, right? And but the free throw thing is just bizarre because this is not, he's not a great shooter, but this is not his shooting. This is clearly the, as somebody who had the yips throughout college, this is absolutely positively, you don't shoot two air balls in one game unless something's going on upstairs.
Yeah, focal dystonia, right? I think that's what it's really called, the medical diagnosis here.
What is it called?
A focal dystonia.
I have no idea.
And the deal is, like, effort makes it worse, right? Yes. Like, if you, you know, the more you care, the more you take time, the more you use your special best effort, the worse you activate this sequence, right? And Tom Haverstraw wrote an incredible story about, like, how NASA trains astronauts out of this. Like, people get the yips when they're going on a spacewalk and trying to reconnect, you know, things to the Mir space station. And they have techniques. You just want to make everything routine. And there's a way that you, like, wiggle your toe, which gives you a little thing to focus on.
He has a routine. That sounds great. Yeah. His routine is the practice free throws without the ball. Okay. Then there's the excessive dribbling and taking a time. And his routine's too long.
No, I get it's the routine too much thing. Thinking, right?
Oh, like, the more, you know, it just builds up the pressure. You're like, oh God, yeah, this is going to be bad.
Yeah. Well, okay. Another huge thing about Giannis is, and hit Giannis with hyperextended knee, which means he has bruising inside his knee, right? Like, unexplosive Giannis is not a scorer, right? Like, they're going to build a wall and he has to go over under through that wall, right? But he's not going to rely on his jumper, right? Like, this is what you would normally do if you're not feeling explosive, but that's not a thing he should be doing, right? So this is why I think, I don't know what he's looking like on the practice court right now, but if he's not looking super crazy explosive, I think you got to sit him in game one because you really need him to be, like, fiery and explosive. And without that, it could be a mess.
How do you, I guess, and Ryan, I you know, I know I'm, like, you're co-hosting, I don't want to interview you, but
no, go ahead,
we kind of got all of Chris Paul. No, but, like, I'm just because you, Ryan, you played with him, so you understand it. Like,
yeah,
we got the full Chris Paul in the closeout game, right? You got the first half where he was just creating shots. You got the, I'm going to go, he went for the kill shot and he hit all these threes, which is not really how he plays. And then you got a couple of just ridiculous flops as well. Like, the flops is just, and then of course he gets under the skin of Patrick Beverly, who pushes him. And that used to be his own teammates. Now at least it's the other team. Like, Henry, how would you, the Chris Paul thing is interesting because now it's become, everybody loves Chris Paul. They want him to win a championship. But it used to be, I hate Chris Paul because he always gets hurt. He flops and he complains about every other player and official outside of his own play.
I love this topic. All right, so a couple of things. I just looked it up. By the time this final starts tomorrow, Chris Paul will have played four games in 22 days. This is about as rested as NBA players get, right?
Yeah.
This I've seen there's, like, elite science that you can give a max effort five times in 14 days, and beyond that, it starts to hurt your performance. So he's a guy. We just saw, right? Maybe it took him a couple games to get his mental game back up to full speed, but then he was this, like, the only guy on the court who's running around like it's preseason, right? He took more shots than he has in any 48-minute game since 2018. He was taking crazy shots, right? So I think he might be calculating, and Ryan will speak to his calculating nature, right? That this is the right, it's like time for him to be in this apex predator mode because he's just going to be fresher than everybody, which could be really fun to watch. And it will be probably super annoying to Patrick Beverly and other people who have to guard Chris Paul.
What do you make of the Suns, though? Is this, are they legit? Was Monty coach of the year? Or is this just, hey, man, taking advantage of opportunity? Like, they haven't played a team with the superstar yet. And what do we add up? I'm telling Doug that this year is cool only if they come back next year and do it again. And then we're like, nah, they're serious. You know, it's certified. Can you certify this championship if they win it and then kind of don't do much next year?
I mean, I hear you. The players who didn't suit up against them are like a who's who, right? From LeBron to Kawhi. You know? But I think all that said, They had just about the best record in the NBA in the regular season. What did they win, 9 or 10 straight in the playoffs? Like, and I think we published a story back in March about how they were winning, and it was about execution, right? Like, they just had, you know, this is where you get Mikal Bridges the ball so that he's super useful. And we didn't see that from every other team. Like, there were a bunch of stretches of these playoffs where good teams, like including the Bucks, were just not running things well. They didn't have good stuff.
But part of that, Henry, is that when you have a guy who's a star who's injured, now everything you've done all year kind of gets thrown away. It helps you initially because people struggle to match up with you, like it did with the Clippers and all these other teams. But, like, you know, like, look, if you take Jamal Murray off of Denver, they're not the same. Right? That guy's 25 to 30 a night. I believe that I don't think we'll look back and go, oh yeah, that was the year everybody was hurt. It is a weird finals, but it is a year where everybody was hurt. And here we have these two teams, and we're going to talk with glowing praise about them. But I don't think most people believe they're close to the two best teams in the NBA, right? Like, the Nets were better. It was just a question of could they stay healthy and not implode? And the answer was no, right? And then in the West, I actually think you're making a good point, which is like, all right, if you don't like them in the West, who do you like? I would have said the Clippers, but the Clippers up until this year had done nothing to help their cause. And even this year with Kawhi Leonard falling behind 0-2 in two series, they had done nothing to tell us they were absolutely the best team.
I think it's like a, you know, this is the year where the NBA schedule makers predictably and terribly and harmfully, just like, it's like a chess game where they took the queen away from every team. Right. And it's like, well, what can you do? This is a weird chess drill where what can you do with these pieces? Right. And, you know, the Suns were without Chris Paul a whole bunch too. Right. And Cam Johnson, et cetera. So I think that, you know, it's a bummer we had to watch this version of the NBA. I'd much rather watch everybody healthy, as a human and as a basketball fan. Right. But we didn't get that, and we didn't get it for any team, including the Suns. So I don't see why I particularly single them out as having had an easy road.
A little off topic, but is LeBron James done? Will we ever see, like, LeBron again? Like, not like will he play again? Like, duh. But like yeah. LeBron, like, you know, close out LeBron mode. You know,
I think, like, LeBron that you have to listen to on every political topic because he's going to determine who's in the finals for the next year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think he's not that guy anymore. I'd be very surprised that if he could play 60-plus games and anchor a team that makes it to the finals. I think that it doesn't look like that on video now, right? Like, it doesn't look like that.
No, it doesn't. There's going to be some changes there. What do the changes look like, do you think, when the Lakers are done?
What can they do, right? I hate that this is the way it works, but once they paid KCP, right, a decent salary, then they're kind of locked up, right? They're Anthony Davis and LeBron James, KCP, and whoever they can get the super affordable, right? I think that's what they do. I guess if you're super ruthless and you run the Lakers, you trade LeBron, right, and just try to focus around Anthony Davis, right? It's never going to happen, right? I know why, right. But if you want to maximize your likelihood of title next 5 years,
you said you know why. But again, like, this is kind of classic what happens with LeBron. KCP was great in the bubble; he had a tremendous year. But this is the Cleveland Cavaliers all over again, right? Where you take care of all LeBron's guys, and then what happens? They're not good enough, and you're overpaid, and you're locked up. So I mean, the clutch guys they have out, not named LeBron. I mean, Anthony Davis obviously has to get better care of his body. That's a poorly kept secret. But the others, this is what happened with Cleveland, J.R. Smith. They gave J.R. Smith a terrible contract. Why? Because he hit some shots in the finals. Like, congratulations. Congratulations. You can't make that much money and then continue to put better players around LeBron as he begins to, you know, get to that downward part of his career. I don't think he didn't really anchor him last year. It was Anthony Davis's talent and his mind. But yes, to your point, Ryan, I think those days of, you know, the days of the crazy numbers and single, yeah, those are gone. And that's the normal That's the normal regression. Last thing, Henry, what's your reaction to the Rachel Nichols leaked audio?
Oh my gosh. I take it as a sign of, like, you know, decades of weak leadership at ESPN, right? Like, a lot of people are dissatisfied for these things to happen, for these things to be said, for this to be leaked. Like, I wish it were a place that everybody felt safe giving their best effort, right? But it feels a lot schemier than that, and that's sad. Like, I wish that it could be a place that was more about, like, just serving sports fans.
Yeah, like who the fans want and performs the best should get the most opportunities.
I also don't think, to be totally honest, like, we cover sports media, like this is a huge issue. Who anchors this or that show? Like, those shows don't do very well, right? Like, it's the most prominent position ESPN has to offer, but fans, like, tune out for that part of the show and then tune in for the game. Like,
I think the NBA is different, though, right? Because there's this there's these two polar. TNT studio crew is incredible. I will watch a game just so I can watch them after a game, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas ESPN, the game broadcast is fantastic, and they've had so much turnover in their studio crew because they want so badly to be TNT. So in a normal circumstance, I understand. I agree with you. In terms of the numbers, I agree with you. But in this sport, the studio shows are important because TNT's made it important because of the quality of content, or at least the ease of taking in their content you get from watching.
I mean, the future of media is going to be reaching, like, young people on phones. This is all just a conversation. It's like baseball. It's like old people are going to watch this, right? And I don't think it really matters to the business. It's just, it's the pinnacle of what ESPN, it's the pinnacle of what people in Bristol produce. So they want it to seem really important. They're big salaries for this, but it's like compared to what happens on Instagram, it's nothing. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, it's a thing we like to talk about because it's easy to talk about and we're used to talking about it. And Marv Albert's retiring is the biggest deal ever. And it's like, all of our kids will never know who Marv Albert was.
Correct.
Like, or Rachel Nichols, right? Like, it's just, you know, it's a relic of a bygone era, and it's been very poorly managed. I'm sorry that people's feelings have been hurt. Like, I really wish it could just be, like, a better run place.
Henry Abbott, formerly of ESPN, truehoop.com Henry, enjoy the finals. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, Henry.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Ryan. Take care.
All right, we'll give you our take on this, on the Rachel Nichols leaked audio. That's upcoming next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Along with Ryan Hollins, I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan. Dan, it's the Dan Patrick Show. You're on Fox Sports Radio. All right, what we'll do is we'll get to this. So top of the hour, we'll talk about this. Rachel Nichols is a longtime host and sideline reporter for ESPN. Maria Taylor, I believe, is in her second year as host of NBA's Countdown studio show. And there's some leaked audio out there of a conversation between Rachel Nichols and a connector to LeBron James, where there was what can only be deemed a not so flattering thought on why Maria Taylor got that job instead of Rachel Nichols. That's up. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. But I found this to be interesting. Ryan, did you grow up a baseball fan?
No, didn't. Well, I played the video game. Okay. I'd watch it a little bit, but
Fan. Was like RBI baseball old school?
Old school. I was Nintendo, Sega. You know, that's how you kind of know the sports as a kid. You play the game, you know them from the game. You know, the kids come to me, hey, you're a great Duque. You are my franchise. You know, like now, yeah, that was for me. That was the extent of my baseball. I didn't play in the streets. We played seldomly, but I wasn't, you know, it wasn't the thing. It wasn't basketball. It wasn't football.
You know, what's interesting about baseball is the All-Star game in baseball used to be the deal, right? It used to be, of the All-Star games, I felt like it was, because it was, nothing else was going on in sports, literally nothing, right? ESPN slid in the ESPY Awards because there's nothing the day after a baseball game, after the All-Star game. And so they could get a collection of who's who because nothing was going on outside of baseball, and baseball didn't really, if it was a superstar, maybe they could fly in Jeets. But outside of that, no one really resonated. The baseball All-Star game has something we haven't had in the modern baseball era. Shohei Ohtani, who I think had another home run yesterday, is going in as an All-Star as both a pitcher and a hitter. The depth of young talent in Major League Baseball is Fernando Tatis Jr., Ronald Acuna. Like, they have dudes out there. But you know, I was in the Northeast last week. They do really still care about baseball. And I know in New York, with the Yankees struggling, they still care about baseball. But I would say, like, Shohei Ohtani being a two-way star, being potentially not just the best player in the game, but the best player we've seen in baseball in more than a quarter century. That's how good he is. I don't think it moves the needle at all. I just don't. And I'm trying to think of, is it because it's baseball, or it's because we already have interleague games? There's an interleague series every series all year long in baseball, right? Do the math, 15 teams each side. They're always going to have an interleague series. But I'm trying to figure out why the All-Star game for baseball has kind of, frankly, died a little bit.
Well, I mean, to me, baseball hasn't been the same since steroids. And it just left a dark cloud over the game. where you started to build household names. You saw personalities. Sosa, McGuire, those are personalities that you saw, you knew, you recognized, and that, you know, for years, some of the league's greatest stars were known in infamy. You know, Barry Bonds, that's a very known name. Roger Clemens, those were the biggest names in baseball, came behind scandal.
Right.
That's what hurt baseball. When you think of the NBA, you go LeBron James, Steph Curry, those are Kevin Durant. Those are big names you get behind. You think football, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, okay, Drew Brees, the Roethlisberger. Those are names and personalities you get behind. And the names and personalities, the biggest and best in baseball, were steroids.
Well,
that hurts the game, Doug.
I don't know. I don't think it's the steroids. I think people misassociate it. I think people think, well, steroids was good for baseball. You took steroids out of baseball, and it's bad for baseball. And I think the opposite is true. Because what steroids did was they created this level of greatness that cannot be achieved on your own. It can't be achieved on your own. Shohei Ohtani has 31 home runs. Okay? 31 home runs. Now, go ahead and do the math, and you look at the Angels. So they played, was it 41 and 42? So they played 83 games. You play 162. He's roughly on pace to break Roger Maris's record. He's right there to go right down the wire. And if that record still stood, well, then we'd be having that discussion. But because those records were pushed to just obscene levels, now it's really hard to judge what is an all-time great season, because actually steroids screwed it up, not because of some moral sense, but because of the actual output and statistical success of a sport, which is always regarded statistical success above anything else. All right. I think I made a point. I think I made it work.
I hear you, Doug. I hear you, Doug.
All right, coming up next, a place both Ryan and I have worked has a little bit of a scandal. What does it mean for sports media? Maybe more than anything, what does it mean in terms of societal and hiring? We'll talk about it next. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.